Dogs. I'm David Hankins.
I'm Paul Hankins.
And welcome to a new edition of On the Air with Power Squared, a weekly look behind the scenes of what we hope will someday be everyone's favorite comic book, Power Squared, which I'm wearing right here on my shirt. So this week we thought we'd talk about issue number 9, which is going to come out soon. We don't know exactly when. It's been submitted to Comixology. We've kind of let them decide the release dates for us. And it will be available there as well as on physical and Art of America, and also on Indie Planet and on Kindle.
Yeah.
So it'll be available everywhere. So we thought we'd talk a little bit about issue number 9 today.
Yes.
Issue number 9. If you support the Kickstarter and you chose that as a tier, you may have already read issue number 9, which is maybe 10-15 people, or they bought it and haven't read it, I don't know. So issue number 9 is obviously a continuation of issue 8.
Yes.
That story arc called Math Magical, which I know it's kind of silly. I like that Math Magical, because it kind of combines math and magic. And so in number 8, we introduce Professor Theorem.
Yes.
Who is Jennifer's math tutor, as well as a math professor at San Ramiro Community College.
Yeah.
And also a, villain in the story. It starts out that way.
Yeah.
Now, she was sort of, the character was sort of based, I guess, physically on Kay Flay, who's a musician, even though it doesn't really look like Kay Flay, but it doesn't have the jet black hair, and it doesn't really, I guess, but that was the sort of the
inspiration
for it, yeah. Not the evilness, but but just sort of the look. And so this is her second issue to be in, and I think I don't want to give it away, but she's not going away.
Right.
So we'll see her again in issue number 10.
One of them recurring characters.
Yes, a recurring character. So, one thing you want to say about her?
Well, I'm not really sure. I guess we try to present her as a nuanced character.
Yes.
Like, her motivation isn't entirely black and white.
Right. Which I think was kind of good. Do you have a picture of her we could show people?
Yes. Give me one second.
Yeah, there you go.
Right. For those of you watching on Twitch.
Yes. It's actually obviously an excerpt from the comic book itself, and it's her in the boy's apartment looking around.
Yes.
Suspiciously. So if you're listening to this, imagine a picture of of a woman looking around suspiciously. Now her power is that she can move through a portal.
Yes.
But the portal is the Napoleon Theorem.
Yeah.
Which is sort of, I don't know how I saw that, but when I saw the theorem, I thought, it looks like it could be a portal. So we can have somebody use that as a portal.
Who's he watching? Here's what that looks like.
Yeah. And I know that we explained in issue 8 what that is.
Right.
And actually, Marty explains it, so I'm sure you remembered that. I'm kidding. So you have to read issue 8 to hear about what a Napoleon Theorem is. And I think there's more than one way of drawing it. But anyway, that just sort of looked like a kind of a weird portal to me.
Right.
Now, so she can only move between theorems, from one drawing of the Napoleon Theorem to another.
Right.
So that's kind of, again, it's part of the limited powers that people have. There's nobody in there that's all, Superman, all powerful, bullets bounce off of them.
Right.
All their powers are sort of, there's limitations to them. And so her power is that she can move between portals, the Napoleon Theorem, and that can take her all over the place to find a theorem.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Who actually tried to explore that sort of range with her power.
Right. So, again, it's part of our, no one is a all-powerful being.
Yeah.
That we know of yet. There's, no Thanos in this universe. So, her motivation, as you say, is sort of nuanced.
Yeah.
And I think we learn more about her, and since she is a recurring character, we learn more about her in 10, 11, and 12.
Yeah.
As well. So they're just starting out living with her. If you're reading the comic book.
Yeah.
So the conclusion of, so in 8, she gets introduced.
Yes.
And in 9, we conclude the story. No, there's a, if you remember 8, if you've read it, and have not read 9, Jennifer's dad is arrested.
Yes.
For drug possession.
Yeah.
And somehow we have to get him out of that predicament, or it's really a different, whole different story. And so the boys actually, in this issue, now we've seen them use their powers kind of, you know, not necessarily for good.
Right.
You know, there was the issue 2, there's a scene of Marty in the shower watching a girl shower.
Right.
Because he's invisible, and that's what kind of guys would do if they were, could be invisible, face facts. Right. In this case, they use the powers to sort of invisibility again, and teleportation to help Mr. Perry out.
Right.
I don't know if you want to get into that or not, but anyway, they kind of, anyway, if you read it, they use their powers legally, but for good.
Right.
Right, yeah, okay. Well, yeah, have to be honest. And then we learned that Professor Theorem is working for Atlas. I think we already knew that, but
yeah.
It's not a, they're not always happy with each other.
Yeah.
And that she's being sort of as nuanced into doing this stuff, right?
Right.
So, anything else you want to say about 9?
Well, I guess I should ask, how did we come up with this storyline?
I think it started with the Napoleon Theorem, actually, and cleverly named the teacher Professor Theorem. I mean, I know that's one of the great namings of all time. And then, of course, if her name is Theorem, she kind of had to be a teacher.
Right.
Yeah, that was part of the story, too. I think the idea was that we were looking for kind of expand the universe of characters, and this was a way of doing that. And so, yeah, using the portal as a way of going back and forth, and so we needed a character that could do that, and that it's sort of developed from there.
Right.
And I think we wanted to have it be sort of not, again, as you say, nuanced, so that it's not, she's, you know, Dr. Atlas's right-hand person, she's her own person, and she has her own reasons for doing what she's doing. They're not always up and up, but she has her own reasons.
Yeah.
And I think it was, yeah, I think it was just basically from the theorem. It all sort of came from that. And it's a different, it's another way of sort of, I'm using the wrong word here, tighten the relationship between Eli and Jennifer, but it's sort of a, you know, more, it's more layers to that relationship.
Yeah.
And, it also involves, you know, Mocha's returns in this issue, and it was just sort of a way of, you know, and then there's always the camaraderie with the guys. I think we see them in the
right
coffee shop, and it's sort of just adding another sort of story arc onto the story.
All right.
Not a great answer, huh? Anyway. And again, this is something we wrote couple years ago.
Must have been, yeah.
Yeah, so, but it's good. And we think you'll like it if you get a chance to read it.
Yes.
So, anything else? A question you want to ask that I can't answer?
Well, I guess that's kind of it about that then.
Okay. So,
so we're not 100% sure when this issue will go up, but nope. It should go up soon, and we will, of course, update you on any of our platforms when it is available.
And we'll definitely tell you in our newsletter, the Hound Dogs Howl.
Which you can join at powersquarecomicbook.com/join.
And you will receive?
The first issue for free, right. Digitally.
What a bargain. I always think that's a great deal. Anyway, and that actually the first two issues are actually the most expensive issues we had to do. But so you're getting that for free. So until next time.
I'm Paul Hankins.
I'm David Hankins, and this has been On the Air with Power Squared.